So I'm just trying to stress to you that you could go find these books and look and see yourself. Even if you don't want to read them, you don't have time, you can go see that these books exist. They are the case. I'm not making them up. They are real. They do exist, you see. I didn't just pull this out of my butt. They're real books. And they show you that they're telling you that this is a 100-year plan. So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you don't want to face reality, it's only hurting you. It's not hurting, you're not getting back at me, you're not getting back at other people, the evil anti-vaxxers, all this kind of stuff. You're not hurting them, it's only hurting you. And this guy says, you need to die. 90-95% of people need to die because they're not going to go into the future. It's a cult, it's a death cult, it really is. So H.G. Wells goes on to say that Marxism is not good enough. Marxism is not going to get us there. All we got to do, and he talks about how dumb the Marxists are, right? So even he understood that your average Marxist, your average professor, they're idiots. They don't know. They're unrealistic. So what's the real plan, and why is Marxism not really useful? We'll find out when we come back.
I am recording this announcement on the afternoon of January 6, 2022. And that means there are only 7 days left of us being able to offer our best-selling product, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, at 50% off. It has all the vitamins, all the minerals, incredible amino acids. It is a game changer for your immune system and every other function in your body, and it's a must-have. That's why, despite the fact that it's selling out at current sales rates, we're going to keep it on sale for another 7 days. So we're running this until next Thursday. And your purchase supports the broadcast. I want to thank you all for shopping with InfoWars. Without you, we would not have been on air, and the world would be a much worse position right now than it's in. Thanks to you supporting InfoWars, we have now become the number one beacon of truth, exposing the Great Reset and the New World Order. So support your immune system and support free speech and the fight for liberty at the same time at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today, I'm going to be covering a text, as you know, that is one of the global elite texts. We always cover in this final hour some key document that is 100% absolute proof of everything that you hear on this network on a routine basis. And we do that because it's not just something that we try to prove to people. It's also something that helps us understand how long these plans have been in the work and exactly how intricate and detailed this plan for a global technocratic government is, which is now coming into play. I want to look at the 1940 book, which is not very long. It's a relatively short book, but it's put out by one of the most famous authors of all time. You've probably not heard of this book, although I guarantee you, you've heard of most of his other texts. That is the book, The New World Order by H.G. Wells. If you don't know, of course, H.G. Wells is one of the most famous propagandists in history. Wells was a war propagandist. He drew up posters for World War I, and he basically provided all kinds of propaganda to the Royal Society in his day for the British Imperial his British Imperial masters to run their imperial propaganda. And so he was kind of the father of this even before somebody like Bernays. Really, it was in the modern world, it was really H.G. Wells that pioneered propaganda. And I think you guys know what he did most famously was science fiction. And so everybody has probably seen War of the Worlds. You might have even read it. You've probably heard of his books, you know, The Time Machine, The Island of Dr. Moreau, War in the Air, Shape of Things to Come, which predicted World War II, for example. It was only a couple years off, and which shows, by the way, that World War II was planned. But the point is that what we have with H.G. Wells is somebody who was amazingly candid in his nonfiction and also a master propagandist in his fiction. And I don't think that H.G. Wells was a good guy. H.G. Wells was a high-level Freemason, an avowed Marxist, and a man who wanted to, in his own words, completely end the family and to bring in a global socialist technocratic world order. But one thing that's interesting about H.G. Wells is that he wasn't, strictly speaking, your average kind of Marxist. He didn't believe that classical Marxism would be the means by which the technocratic global order would come into reality. Wells believed that it would require the infrastructure and engine and power of monopoly capitalism that would build the infrastructure. And then the technocratic corporate elite would use that infrastructure that was built by global capitalism, monopoly capitalism, to hijack it and then make it the technocratic top-down order. So it would be run by a technocratic scientific elite, and then everything else would be a top-down collectivism with the people on the top basically immune to any of the laws and rules underneath it. And so in the truest sense, you could say that H.G. Wells was an Illuminist. He really did believe in the Illuminati plan in the truest sense of a communistic, socialistic, technocratic order that was not anti-fascist or anti-capitalist. You might say, but every Marxist is anti-capitalist, isn't he? Actually, that's not the case. Do you know that Marx himself did not believe that capitalism was inherently evil? He thought it was a necessary stage on the phase a world history to the final utopia. Marx's end goal of history is actually libertarian. He believes that the state will wither away, and then you will have this basically scientific, you know, utopian world, this Star Trek world, run by computers and technocratic elite. And H.G. Wells had the exact same vision, because in my view, really, the British Empire was kind of headed by these forward-seeking, forward-thinking technocrats. And so the British Empire had a big role in fostering both socialism, communism, democracy, fascism, all of these different 20th century systems that played into those wars. You can read Royal Society thinkers that talk about all those systems as experiments. Bertrand Russell calls Bolshevism a grand, amazing experiment. Initially, early on, he said Stalin is a great thing. This is great to have Stalinism. We need this top-down technocratic control. And really what we find in H.G. Wells is the same type of language and the same type of approbation. Now, they might have disagreed with certain elements of National Socialism. They might have disagreed with certain elements of Stalinism and critical theory Marxism and so forth. But ultimately, remember, the end game of every New World Order proponent, and that's the title of this book, The New World Order, that's where it comes from, written in 1940. And this is not his first book, okay? He had another book that he wrote very similar to this many years earlier, 1928, called The Open Conspiracy. What are we to do with our lives now that we are in the technocratic age? But I wanted to go to this one because it's just so obvious that this is an open admission of international technocratic elites bringing in a global government. H.G. Wells begins the book by saying that, you know, when we look at World War II, when we look at what the National Socialists are up to, and this was written right in 1940, so this is prior to World War II, he says that it's really not a problem in terms of top-down control systems. He says, if we think about a dictator like Hitler, he says it's not Hitler himself that is the problem. It is the nation state, firewalls to global governments, and individuals that are the problem. And so H.G. Wells was very much a proponent of the idea that there is no individual right. You don't have a right as an individual unless it is given to you. It is doled out to you by the state. So he did not believe, obviously, as a kind of an atheist. I wouldn't say he was an outright atheist, because he has another lesser known book about religion that he speaks of God, the invisible king, whom he says is a Luciferian type of character. He believes in a Luciferian God. Literally, that's what he says in the book. So I think he was a Luciferian, and in his sense, he either believed in an absolute satanic view of Lucifer. I mean, ultimately, I think Lucifer is a satanic thing, but what would H.G. Wells say? Well, he would probably say, it just represents science and Promethean man, you know, overthrowing, any kind of God or tyranny outside of his own mind. And then he goes on to say that really the reason the world is in crisis, the global elite writers always talk about the crisis, the reason that we're going into this global world war at this time, which is right before World War II, is that we still have nation states and we still have individual rights. So he's pinning the blame for World War II and World War I on the idea of there being nations, of there being firewalls and protective structures against global government, on the liberties of individuals, the liberties and rights of people themselves directly from God. He says it's time to have a debate because a new age is coming in as a result of the crises of the global wars. And remember when we read through Dr. Carol Quigley's massive tome, Tragedy and Hope, 1,300 pages, I've lectured through in 8 lectures, the entire work. we saw that Quigley admits, as an apologist of this system, as a defender of this system, that the two world wars and the Cold War of the last century were essentially engineered by the power elite, the Anglo-American establishment, he calls it, to bring in the world government. Literally, it was planned out, it was strategized. And a lot of people think that it's just hard to believe that. I can't believe that this is planned out 100, 200 years ago. It's just hard for me to believe. Well, that's why we're looking back at these books from 1940, from 1928, right? To see that what's coming about right now, what you read in Klaus was written in 1928, in 1940 by these people. There's a perfect continuity of ideology, a praxis between H.G. Wells and Klaus Schwab. And I don't even know if Klaus Schwab has read these books. Perhaps he's read these books. But does it even matter if the plan is exactly the same, if they're working for the same structures that are admittedly for over 100 plus years in the Western publications and academic journals and whatnot, admitting to this plan to bring in this government. Now, one of the things you might not have known that Marxists and especially H.G. Wells pioneered was the idea of the green movement, the idea that humans are the problem and that we are wasting the planet and its resources through having too many people, having offspring. This is something that the Royal Society and the Malthusians and especially H.G. Wells was a big fan of enacting these mass reductions in population, which we'll look at here in a minute. That's what he says right away. The very first thing that we have to deal with is massive reduction of population. Yeah, there you go. You see, and Soylent Green is made from people. There is Charlton Heston telling you right there in that H.G. Wells dystopian type worldview in all of this fiction telling you what's going on. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were talking about how H.G. Wells was the early proponent of the green movement, and how this would be the means by which we could bring in this technocratic global government that even decades before the Club of Rome had put out their book, The First Global Revolution, H.G. Wells was writing books saying, and as the mouthpiece of the Royal Society and the elite Malthusian power structure of the Anglo-American establishment, that most of the planet would have to go away. There's no other way to save the planet than to kill everybody. He says that we will have to have complete control of biology. This is what he says on page 24 of the book. Complete collective control of economic and biological life is absolutely necessary to bring in this global government. He says if we don't do that, then what we're going to have is a perpetual war, perpetual chaos. And so in other words, in classic sort of H.G. Wells, or excuse me, in classic 1984 fashion, in order to save everybody, we must kill everybody. Wells says that politics and political federation, as we've known so far in history in Western civilization, is basically worthless. It will not bring global peace apart from a real profound social revolution. He says that the communists in Russia, that is the Bolshevik Russian Revolution, were very much extremist. But get this, he says that their revolution towards world collectivism was not extreme enough. It did not go far enough. The future final revolution, he says, must go way farther and become much more heroic in its designs to massively depopulate the world. He says that it is important to promote class warfare in the next chapter, although class warfare isn't really the end goal, because ultimately this is going to be the destruction of the wealth or new wealth, to put it into this technocratic system where there is no upward mobility and no wealth at all. There will be, says, the movement from class hate into a rise of police state, because the dialectical structure, the tensions that are engineered on the basis of class hate back in his day, now, of course, it's identity politics, racial division, which is fostered by these technocrats on purpose to actually bring in this police state and ultimately this technocratic state. He goes on to say that on page 33 that Lenin and Stalin were great revolutionaries. The work that they did was phenomenal. However, none of these people went far enough. He says that he got to meet with Lenin back in the day in the 1920s, and he said he seemed very nice and he seemed very pleasant. And he, like Bertrand Russell, supports that revolution. But class warfare is just simply not enough. A lot of the Marxists, the classical Marxists, the revolutionaries of that day, he says, they totally miss and understand the long-term goal of technocracy. They totally miss the fact that this is not about you bettering supposedly your paycheck, right? A revolution of the workers or whatever. He says, this is a revolution that's about technocracy and complete control of biology. What did Klaus Schwab say multiple times? We will get inside your body. We will control and change your biology. I covered last week the technocratic document, the transhumanist Ministry of Defense human augmentation document, which says synthetic biology will mean the changing of your biology to make you into a human platform. You're going to be a walking router, a walking modem. That's all you are. You're going to receive the signals of the system and emit the signals of the system. Wells goes on to say that there's nothing wrong with Stalin. Stalin's a great guy. He says that really the way to understand the world is to understand it as a zoo. The world is like a human zoo. Nation states, these are like different sections of the zoo. There's nations over here. Oh, that's the elephant exhibit, right? When you keep them in their cages, you keep them in their little animal farm or in their zoo or in their lab. He says these are all fine analogies for actually understanding the technocratic view of the world order. The technocrat looks at the world and says, I am elite and special because I have my lab coat and because I got my magical science juice beakers bubbling behind me. And that makes me great and special because I went to the university and was brainwashed and I have a actually midwit level IQ. So actually I'm part of the elite. And because I'm a psychopath and I want to kill everybody, I'm elite. And H.G. Wells says that that's who runs the New World Order, scientific technocrats. And they view the world like a farm, like a zoo, and like a lab. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mr. Fauci, exactly. He says that the first thing that we're going to have to do is indoctrinate the youth. Interesting. These technocratic individuals always know to corrupt the youth. Because they, again, are themselves essentially control freaks, and they know that the best way to do this is to infect the youth with toxic ideologies, infect them with the idea that population is itself the problem. Don't have kids, don't have offspring, live in your pod, et cetera. All of that is was said 100 years ago. And he even says that we're going to have to divide people into generations and give them different attitudes to set them off against other generations, right? Millennials, zennials, all this kind of stuff. He says that this will lead to the decline of the West. Wait a minute. Why would the elite want the decline of the West? Because they don't care about the West. They don't care about prosperity. They don't want prosperity. I don't understand. People can't understand that there's a class of individuals at the top, the technocratic elite, that do not want to simply make money. They don't care about making money. They have the control of the Fed printing press. They don't need money. They want something much grander than that, which is control of all life. Control of biology. That's what H.G. Wells just said in this book almost 100 years ago, 80 years ago. Wells says that once we capture the minds of the youth, like the Maoist youth revolutions, we can just steer the youth as we want. And who can fail to see that that is what has happened at a much more sophisticated scientific level today, that the youth are steered and controlled into adopting basically the most self-destructive and nihilistic philosophies and beliefs. Wells says that whether you look at FDR in the U.S. or whether you look at Stalin in Russia in that day, he says that the creation of the welfare state, the creation of the Stalinist state, all of these things, he says, are perfectly in line with what I want to see as a technocrat. Now, that doesn't mean everything in those systems went perfectly according to what H.G. Wells wanted, but he says that these are experiments and models that are perfectly enacting the kinds of things that I want to see on the way towards the final revolution. What is the final revolution? We know that this is talked about in Aldous Huxley's essay, which is the introduction to Brave New World. We know that this is talked about in Bertrand Russell's writings. Well, he says that the real meaning of this is that all of the revolutions of the last several centuries, we think about the French Revolution, we think about the Republican and Democratic revolutions of the 1800s that overthrew the monarchies, we think about even the American Revolution, according to H.G. Wells, right? Even the Bolshevik Revolution, all the revolutions, he says, are one revolution. Now, I'm not saying they're literally identical, but they're one revolution towards the same goal. And he says that that one goal is the technocratic, internationalist, global, elite world order. And he says that, again, the Bolsheviks didn't do enough. They didn't kill enough people, because to bring this in is going to require killing everybody almost. Literally, he says most people are going to have to die. And all of his compatriots said the same thing. Bertrand Russell says the same thing. Huxley says the same thing. All the Huxleys, all the brothers, they all said this. And most people are going to have to die because most people are not fit to go into the scientific future order. When we come back, we're going to see what he says is the number one thing in the way. Don't go anywhere. This is InfoWars.
Three very important life-saving words. Vitamins, minerals, amino acids. And you find them all in Vitamin Mineral Fusion. All the essential vitamins, all the essential minerals from really good, high-quality, absorbable sources, and a bunch of key compounds, amino acids, known to help get the nutrients into your tissues, into your cells. And despite the fact that the product is going to sell out in the next week or so, we are going to keep it on sale at 50% off for another 7 days. So again, I am cutting this announcement on the afternoon of January 6, 2022. We're going to run this for a week, and then we are going to be selling out of this product. Hopefully more comes in the next month or so, because it's a bestseller and it's something everybody needs for their immune system and their body. Get your Vitamin Mineral Fusion now and support the InfoWar 360 win at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And we're working our way through The New World Order by H.G. Wells. And we were talking about the technocracy being planned a long time ago, and Wells noting that a couple of the things that were standing in the way are the notions of liberties, the notion of individual rights that don't become essentially malleable or created by the state, something that you have inherently by divine right, by being made in the image of God. Wells says that that needs to go away. And he talks about the fact that it doesn't really matter whether the collectivism that we bring in is something from a Bolshevik, socialist, or communist model, because ultimately he says these all can give way to the end goal of technocracy. And he says whatever works is really the best system, whatever works to bring in technocracy, to bring in the top-down control. So this is why we can begin to see that things like the Cold War, while they were definitely real on the ground with different Eastern Western spies and doing all this kind of stuff, people like H.G. Wells at the top were cheering on the communist Marxist revolution. People who are the most famous proponents of the ideas of, you know, the elite Western establishment have always supported communism and Marxism. The wealthiest people in the West funded, supported, and fostered communism and Marxism pretty consistently in the 20th century. And so the point is that it doesn't matter whether it's monopoly capitalism or whether it's socialist Marxism. Both of those systems are atheistic, materialistic systems fostered and funded by these people. And H.G. Wells is the mouthpiece of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the West of the 20th century. And just like David Rockefeller, some 50, 60 years later after this, they both can say, I love Marxism. I love socialism. I love technocracy. I love fascism, they say. They don't have a problem with any of those systems, because just like Mr. Green in James Bond, Quantum of Solace, the villain there, Mr. Green says, I don't care whether you're a nationalist, whether you're a socialist, whether you're a Marxist, whether you're a communist, as long as you can get things done and bring about my consolidation of power, I support you. He says, we as a secret international specter group will work with any of those people to achieve our ends. So Marx goes on to say that the problem that stands in the way of this world government, this technocratic order, is Christianity. Isn't it funny that they always pick that religion? Like, why is that the religion that is the one that is the most problematic for this satanic, demonic system? And he calls it Luciferian. Make no joke about it. In the book, God the Invisible King, which is not the Christian God, it's this other secret deity that he worships in his lodge, he says that the real deity is Lucifer. And what's in the way of this progress of killing everybody and bringing in this global technocratic order is the idea that individuals have rights and we can't just kill everybody. Then he goes into talking about more things that were kind of applicable to his time, like the New Deal and how the New Deal was part of the Marxist socialist plan. He then says that things like the creation of the European Union will be instrumental to the integration of all the continents into their own continental unions. And that's just a step on the way to the long goal of the technocratic global federation. He goes on to say that the bringing into this new world order will be something beyond the League of Nations. So he talks about how the League of Nations in his day, right, this is created as a result of World War I. He says the League of Nations totally failed because they didn't have the power to enforce the technocratic global order. He says that in the future, and this is prior to the creation of the United Nations, he basically predicts the creation of the United Nations. He says that the next thing that will come about, hopefully it will be able to create the worldwide collective. The worldwide collective. Yeah, that's his words. And he says that we have to bring in collectivism. He says that the notion of traditional religion, the notion of any of these ideas that don't bring about the French revolutionary collectivist idea are anathema. They have to be destroyed. They are the enemy. He mentions the French revolutionaries as a model. He says they were the true radicals. Bolsheviks didn't even go far enough. The French revolutionaries went far enough. Of course, they, through the Committee of Public Safety, would behead tens of thousands of people in the French Revolution. But hey, that's what you got to do to bring in the New World Order and save the planet. I'm just trying to, do you understand that this is not some random sci-fi writer? This is not some fringe lunatic. This is the most important propagandist of the 20th century. More important than Edward Bernays. Almost everybody in the world has probably, to most people in the world, have probably heard of some science fiction novel that H.G. Wells wrote. And H.G. Wells is so famous and so popular, he's known as the father of science fiction, him and Jules Verne. How many people have watched the movie World of Worlds, Spielberg's World of Worlds, right? How many people have watched anything, just anything to do with sci-fi? You can't escape H.G. Wells. And what H.G. Wells figured out was that he could condition way more people through fiction than he could through these boring global fact books, right? These propaganda books that were just factual. Nobody's going to read this, right? That's why nobody knows that H.G. Wells wrote this book. And you don't read this in college. Okay. When you go to college, nobody reads H.G. Wells's plans. Nobody reads Carol Quigley. So when I was doing my graduate work, when I was studying these topics in grad school, I went to my decent-sized university. We had a pretty good graduate school program for research. And I went into the basement of the library because I was working as a research assistant. And I was like, you know, I'm curious. I want to see, because we have a copy of Tragedy and Hope. I noticed it was on the database, the card file or whatever. And so I went down the basement and I found it. And I noticed that one person, one professor in 20, 30 years since the book had been there had checked it out. So the average university setting, okay, they don't know that this is the way the world works. Even high-level university professors, I would talk to my professors about this. I would take Tragedy and Hope to class. I would bring these books up. I would bring these books into class and bring them up. They'd never read these things. So what I'm getting at is that to understand the things that we're talking about today, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or say that I'm awesome or anything. I'm just saying that it's a fact that you got to get up to like the Brzezinski level of people, the Kissinger level, the Jacques Attali level, before you meet people and talk to people who have read this swath of information. Now you got to read a Brzezinski, because Brzezinski, he writes and talks about these kinds of books. You know, Brzezinski cites Anthony Sutton in between Two Ages. So he was reading these other books and reading these geopolitical tomes. But even most professors don't read this stuff. They don't know that. Most professors, just like politicians, are trapped in some low-level dialectic of I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. They don't know anything about this stuff. They don't know what the Royal Society talks about. They don't know. They haven't read. You might have a philosophy professor. He's read Bertrand Russell. Okay, but what did he read from Bertrand Russell? He read The History of Philosophy. He didn't read Bertrand Russell's Scientific Outlook, the impact of science on society. He doesn't know about the history of Malthusian eugenics or any of that stuff. And I know because I went and I argued and debated with all the professors at the university, and none of them knew about this stuff. Maybe one had heard of this stuff. So I'm just trying to stress to you that you could go find these books and look and see yourself. Even if you don't want to read them, you don't have time, you can go see that these books exist. They are the case. I'm not making them up. They are real. They do exist, you see. I didn't just pull this out of my butt. They're real books. And they show you that they're telling you that this is a 100-year plan. So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you don't want to face reality, it's only hurting you. It's not hurting, you're not getting back at me, you're not getting back at other people, the evil anti-vaxxers, all this kind of stuff. You're not hurting them, it's only hurting you. And this guy says, you need to die. 90-95% of people need to die because they're not going to go into the future. It's a cult, it's a death cult, it really is. So H.G. Wells goes on to say that Marxism is not good enough. Marxism is not going to get us there. All we got to do, and he talks about how dumb the Marxists are, right? So even he understood that your average Marxist, your average professor, they're idiots. They don't know. They're unrealistic. So what's the real plan, and why is Marxism not really useful? We'll find out when we come back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Moving through the H.G. Wells New World Order book, this plan, this propaganda piece from 1940 about how to instantiate, how to bring about, how to revolutionize the world as a strategy to create a global technocratic world government. He says that the youth will have to keep at their praxis of revolution. And he says, eventually, if we keep at this, if we do really well, he says that the USA will be transformed from what it is presently to a Fabian socialist power. And if you don't know, the Fabian socialist model, of course, is the slow, the turtle model of how to bring in socialism. Rather than a top-down boot tyranny right away, this is a more subtle technocratic model of manipulating people through wars, through many, many decades to accept long-term goals that people can't accept right away. What better example than the last 2 years to see how emergencies, faux emergencies, made up, invented, emerged, crisis, scares the crap out of everybody, and they go along out of fear. That's exactly what H.G. Wells is talking about, except he's saying that that it's key to destroy the United States from within through subversion, not with classical Marxism, but with gradual implementation of socialist, technocratic, get everybody on the dole strategies, liberalism, atheism, the destruction of the existing order to bring in the new order. And he says that all that's needed to do this is to keep fomenting tension, division, strife, chaos, attack the traditional structures, get rid of the existing religious ideas of God and so forth, and even to the point of abolishing notions like the death penalty. You might think, well, he's just a peace-loving pacifist. No, he's not. This is a guy who says everybody needs to die. Do you think that he wants to abolish the death penalty because he is a peace-loving hippie? No. He wants to get rid of the death penalty because it's a social engineering warfare strategy that emaciates a society. I'm not saying the death penalty isn't abused or that it's not in some cases done, you know, unfairly or wrong, of course. But we don't operate on the basis of the fact that sometimes something is abused that we get rid of it, right? Does sometimes a husband beat his wife? Sure. Oh, I guess we need to get rid of all husbands and all fathers because one guy has abused somebody. No, that's ridiculous. That's the inverted, weird, creepo logic of liberalism, right? The victim status gets to dictate everything, which is completely irrational on the basis of the fact that sometimes there's an abuse. And obviously that doesn't work. You can't make the anomaly the norm or the abuse the norm, because all that does is revolutionize and destroy the structures of society. And that's a strategy. So people don't understand that warfare is very sophisticated, especially in the 20th century. And it extends beyond things like fun with swords and knives and tanks. Warfare is economic, it's social, it's cultural, it's political, it's linguistic. War on language, war on truth, war on meaning, war on life. All these areas, war on biology, are part of the world in which we inhabit now, where everything is under the purview of being weaponized and turned into a weapon. Gender is now weaponized, right? Not gender itself, but what they're doing with this made up nonsense, which is all part of what he says, you see. It's all part of a strategy, not of Russia, not of some other country, but of the technocratic elite who want to manipulate, just like they did in the world wars of the last century, and just like they did in the Cold War, a new war between the U.S. and Eurasia. Have you read 1984? 1984 is all about fake, made-up villains and manipulated wars that may not even be real. Okay, now I'm not saying there's not a real threat of the global elites bringing about a war with Russia or China. They do want that because they're crazy. They're impelled by a demonic power and force, which they're subservient to. The same force that he talks about that he calls Lucifer. H.G. Wells goes on to say that the goal is internationalism, and internationalism requires a revolution in three key areas. Three key areas. One of those is the social realm, to promote the eradication of the idea of an individual, or the individual having meaning, or the individual having any power on his own. So disempower and atomize, he says. There's socialization. And he says that another key area, this is back in, again, in the 40s, so not everything then is relevant now, but you can see that what he talked about then was actually pretty successful in the succeeding decades. He says that the number two area would have to be law. Revolutionize law, the notion of rights, common law, all this kind of stuff. You get the eventually the promotion of things like legal positivism. The destruction of courts and law was key, according to H.G. Wells. Then he says education and knowledge have to be destroyed. Wow. Knowledge itself, he says, has to be destroyed. And if you read the socialists who were actually the progenitors of American education, John Dewey, Horace Mann, they say the exact same thing as H.G. Wells. They say that we got to get rid of this idea of reading, writing, arithmetic, and that education has the goal of giving people the ability to learn, teaching individuals how to learn for themselves. That's what education used to be. You're not going there to learn a bunch of facts that you repeat. You're learning how to better learn yourself. That's what research, that's what education was supposed to be. That's classical education. H.G. Wells says that education must undergo a revolution such that the universities and the schools become centers of indoctrination and brainwashing. Well, I wonder if that's happened. It has, if you don't know. He says that what we're going to bring then is a completely quantified and rational world order, and that's what technocracy is. That is, I mean, it sounds good on paper. Well, don't you want to be reasonable? Wouldn't you want to be governed by rational principles? Yeah, but that doesn't mean what you think it means. It means whatever they say. It means it's rational to kill everybody. That's their view, you see. So what is rational is what the scientism devotees say is rational. That's it. It doesn't actually mean submitting to, yeah, exactly. That's what they think is rational. Then he goes on to talk about how fear will be key to bringing this in. Fear of the threats and dangers of fabled enemies will bring in the collectivization. If we can damage the idea of individual rights, of individual nations, of individuals, of firewalls, of families enough, then we can bring in the technocratic world order. And that's why H.G. Wells says that one of the number one things on the chopping block that has to go is the family. Because what is the family but the promulgation of fascism and hierarchy, according to him? I'm not joking. That's what these people say. The idea of a father as a father figure has to be destroyed, and they do it through the implementation of the oppression narrative, that the existence of a father is a fascist, oppressive narrative, thus the power of feminism. And H.G. Wells was a big, big, big feminist. He was 100% pro-feminist, just like Plato, whom he was a big fan of. If you didn't know that, yes, Plato was an archetypal feminist. And so he says that we'll have to utilize the strategy and techniques of the Fabian socialist technocratic strategies to eventually erode the West and erode the USA and erode what it is to be man. the idea of man has to change. Man can't be man in the abstract or a metaphysical religious idea of man or what man is. Because if God exists, right, then we know that man has meaning by virtue of the worldview where you're a theist, where God exists. You're made in the image of God. So the moral law, right, comes from God, comes from being made in the image of God. So there's right and wrong on that basis in that worldview. But H.G. Wells says that we're going to have to not just get rid of the idea of God, but get rid of the idea of what man is, changing images of man. Another global elite white paper written exactly in conformity with this document, the Stanford Research document written by another one of the top elites, Wallace Harmon, changing images of man. If we can change and engineer man to see man as the enemy, to see rights as his problem, to see the environment and the existence of the population being the problem, then we will win because man will turn on man. Man will depopulate man. Right now, at this time, yes, he even talked about, as Bertrand Russell did, maybe we just need more world wars or gigantic bio warfare to go on. He says we need a new plague or some kind of bio release. Yes, Bertrand Russell actually says that we need an impact on society. He says we need another giant death, black death, or bio release to massively reduce the population. So what you're seeing today, what they're doing now, was talked about 100 years ago again. At the end of the book, he says countless will die to bring in this new world order. But he says it's sad, unfortunately, that we have to do that. I'm so sorry, but we have to do it. There's no other way to bring in the utopia. And he sells it as a utopia. He says it's going to be Star Trek. You're going to be flying around. Well, you won't, but they will be flying around in spaceships. And isn't it better to die for something than nothing?
I'm going to tell you this right now. They are financially trying to shut down our capability to even receive money from you. And that's why I'm all in and I sold my house and I'm doing all sorts of other stuff to get all the capital I've got for the big fight going into the future in this year. With 300 days today out from the midterms. We're 300 days out now. They're going to pull the terror attacks. They're going to pull the cyber attacks. They're going to pull pipeline shutdowns. You name it to try to mess up that election. They're going to have more viral releases and say, we got to have mail-in ballots again. They're already doing it. It's very easy to know what they're going to do because they're pre-programming it in the news. This is the most important part of our lives, your life, my life. This is the most important part of the fight. This is when everything else has been skirmishes up to this point. This is the big main geopolitical battle. And so I am spending a half my time just getting funding with the satellite uplinks, the bandwidth, the crew, the run the operations to pay for all the stuff to keep us on air. I don't need to spend half my time doing that. I need the money there. You need to get products now. Storable foods, water filtration, air filtration, high quality supplements that boost your immune system, historic t-shirts, films, books to wake yourself up and help wake up others. Whatever you do, I want to thank you all for your support, but I want to encourage everybody that's been on the fence or bought this or bought that, and sure, we support you, but I need everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. And we need to raise millions of dollars because I'm several million dollars in the negative. That's what the news puts out, fake news, that I've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Total crap, total lies, total BS, okay? Just to simplify it. And I mean, I've told you how much money I have. It's not much, and it's just enough to have in my account and run things. I don't give a rat's ass about money or status or any of this crap. I care about defeating these psychotic New World Order people that are after us, and this is real, and this is historic, and we told you everything first. It's why they hate us and want to destroy us, and I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. I've already had an incredible life. I've already taken on tyrants. I've already had great victories thanks to you and all of us together, and I thank God for the opportunity to be where I've always wanted to be here fighting these tyrants. You understand that? But now this is the big fight, and I don't want to go in there politically and financially malnourished and dehydrated and cross-eyed in this most important battle. I need to go in there ready and fired up. I'm using the analogy of a business and operation, hydrated and strong and with a good night's rest. Because I'm love this time. I'm ready for this time. I hate what's happening, but I love the fact that we've got a chance to fight back against these people. But this is it. So get your vitamin mineral fusion, get your X2, get your ultimate turmeric formula, get your ultimate bone broth formula, get your bodies. It's all there at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Get a Molon Labe shirt, come and take it. Because this is it. This is their main assault. This is the New World Order takeover. This is the takedown of our economy to break your will. And we got a good chance of stopping these folks. And we've got a lot of tricks up our sleeves and a lot of backup infrastructure, not just for us, but other people. If this goes to the next level of this thing in information warfare, what we're going to do, believe me. There's a lot of stuff we've done that we never got credit for a reason, and a lot of tricks up our sleeves. But I need money to prosecute this war against these people. So, you want to stand up against them? Take action. Don't sit on the sidelines. We fired the bat signal, the SOS. Get the products you need now and keep the Info on the air in the most critical time ever at InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. InfoWars!
InfoWars! Go to InfoWarsStore.com and support the InfoWars.